Good morning. This is Pastor Bill Sturm, one of the pastors here at Berean Baptist Church in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And it is May 23rd, and I'm coming to you with a particular current event. I'm sure you've got your belly full already of this particular issue, but I want to bring one more idea, and I want to address it from a particular perspective. Some of you know another North Carolina preacher went viral last night talking about getting rid of gays. This is coming to you from the CNN religious blog section. And it's written by Dan Gilgoff, and it was posted yesterday. And so I want to read just a portion of this, and then I want to talk about it, okay? Already 4,700 comments on this, by the way, so I'm sure that they're all favorable and lots of love. All right, so a video of a North Carolina pastor preaching that gays and lesbians should be rounded up inside of an electric fence is going viral on the internet. 2 weeks after North Carolina passed the constitutional ban on same-sex marriage and President Barack Obama voiced personal support for legalizing such marriages. Well, look, he says we should build a great big fence, 50 or 100 miles long, put all the lesbians in there. Worley went on to say that in his May 13th sermon at his maiden North Carolina church, fly over, drop some food, do the same thing with the queers and the homosexuals and have that fence electrified so they can't get out, feed them, and you know in a few years they'll die out. You know why? They can't reproduce. Well, of course, I followed this a little while on Facebook last night with, I don't want to make it sound like I was sitting there staring at a screen, because the truth is I found time to eat ice cream and play cards with some friends, my wife. We enjoyed time with the children, messed with the dogs, and so I want you to know that I am not an internet idiot by any means, but I did follow it a little bit. I have some friends that I went to school with commenting on it, and you know, here's what it really comes down to. Dan Gilgoff just probably doesn't understand. Maybe he does. But Pastor Worley is probably one of these people that believes that homosexuals cannot be saved. I'm sure, based on what I know about this kind of church, based on the fact I know where I came from, based on the fact I know what kind of preaching I listened to when I was a teenager and a young man in my early 20s, pastoring my first two churches, and by the way, not doing well at it, I knew what my view was on homosexuals. I don't hate homosexuals. I'm comfortable around them to some degree. I need you to know this. I am as uncomfortable with a young man and a young woman in Six Flags in line for a roller coaster making out. I'm just as uncomfortable with that as I am with anyone else. I suppose two men holding hands in line. I'm not comfortable with either one of those, okay? I don't want to make this out like homosexuality is the pinnacle wickedness of all society. I'm sure that if we let our disgusting imaginations go wild, we could get right off the brink and just, look, the human mind is debauched. Now, on that note, I have relatives that are homosexuals. I don't hate them. If I had a chance to talk to them, I would do my very best to be civil. I would do my very best to be hospitable to a degree. I would do my very best to help them understand that that the gospel can save souls. Now, you say, well, maybe, you might be saying, I'm a homosexual and I don't need to be saved from my homosexuality. Well, okay, just hang on. A lot of people who believe that homosexuals cannot be saved, cannot be born again, cannot go to heaven when they die, they get it from Romans chapter number 1. I want to read it to you, and I want to be able to stop you and get you to hear something. Okay, here goes. The wrath of God, verse 18 of chapter 1, is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. All right, everyone would agree with that. Yep, it's revealed against all ungodliness, people who suppress the truth and righteousness. Verse 19 talks about the conscience. People would say, yep, we know that God, his wrath is poured out against those who deny him in their conscience. Verse 20, right, we get it, we understand. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead. Yep, we got it, creation. People who don't listen to creation, don't listen to conscience, God's wrath is poured on them, got them, got it. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Well, hold on. God's wrath is poured out on the unthankful. Became vain in their imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Okay, so God darkened their foolish heart. And what happened to them? They became foolish. And they changed the glory. This is Romans 1:23. Changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, to birds, to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Here's what Paul is saying. These people in the history of humanity have rejected what they know in their conscience about God. They've rejected what they see in creation from God. They did not thank him for giving them life. They professed themselves to be wise, and God darkened their imagination, and then they started worshiping a false god, thinking that it was God, or a worship that was at least acceptable unto God. In other words, they brought God down to their level and changed him into what they felt like was a suitable image. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Hey, heterosexual males, I want to talk for just a second. Heterosexual males, do you have lust in your heart to dishonor your bodies? Heterosexual females, do you have lust in your heart to dishonor your body between you and another man? Or I should say between you and a man. Heterosexual male, do you have lust in your heart? Have you ever wanted to dishonor your body and dishonor your God by fornicating with another, I should say, with a woman? So we're talking about heterosexual fornication. We're talking about heterosexual lust. Have you ever done that? Okay, this scripture is about you too. He goes further. They changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, for who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. So you take this broad panorama view of humanity and says God gave them up to these vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of that error which was meet. Here's what Paul is saying. These people, known as the human race, have historically rejected God in their conscience, verse 19. They have historically rejected the God of creation, verses 20 through 23. They have historically resisted God in their own bodies, verse 24, to the point that they become, some of them, homosexuals, in verse 26 and 27. Now, hang on. In verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, someone might say, there it is, homosexuals are the subject of Romans 1. Indeed, they are a subtopic of Romans chapter number 1, but they are not the subject of Romans 1. They are a subtopic. In other words, Paul says, let me share with you how wicked mankind gets. They even become homosexuals. Verse 29, being filled with all, but hang on, let me back the train up there for a minute. Heterosexuals, we're not off the hook here. God says that the lust that we have in our hearts is indicative of a God-denying nature upon which God has poured his wrath. It just so happens that one of the ways Paul describes this lust is that sometimes heterosexuals become homosexuals. Now, you may not like that, but that is just a subtopic. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers. Hang on. If being turned over to a reprobate mind means you can no longer be saved, if that's what it means, then all people who are unrighteous, fornicators, that's even heterosexual, wicked, covetous, malicious, envious, any murderer, all of them are beyond salvation. None of them can be saved. Those who debate and deceit and malign and whisper, backbiters, verse 30, haters of God, despiteful, proud person. I know preachers that are proud. I struggle with pride. Listen, if verse 28 teaches that homosexuals can't be saved, then I can't be saved because verse 30 is describing me. The wrath of God was poured out on me, a proud man, a backbiter, a hater of God, a man full of lust, a man full of envy, a man full of hate that brings murder. That was me before I was saved. And if being turned over to a reprobate mind means that I cannot be born again, if it means that a homosexual cannot be born again, it means that I could never be saved because I was a boaster. Now, hang on. Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. If verse 28 teaches that homosexuals cannot be saved, then neither could disobedient children be saved. Okay, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. If you were without mercy before you were saved, that's if number one. And if verse 28 teaches that being turned over to a reprobate mind means that homosexuals cannot be saved, that's if number two, then the result is people who are unmerciful before they are saved cannot get saved. people who are unmerciful, people who are disobedient to parents, people that were fornicators, people that were boasters, people that were backbiters, people that were hateful, people that were murdered, all before the moment of conversion. They really never had a moment of conversion. They never could be. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that homosexuality is not a heinous sin. I believe it is a wicked sin. But it wasn't homosexuality that got Lucifer kicked out of heaven. It was pride. So in verse 30, lists pride. Hey, we have no proof that Paul the Apostle, otherwise known as Saul of Tarsus, was a homosexual. But we are told in 1 Timothy 1 that he was a murderer and he found salvation. And yet murder is listed in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. I was very disobedient to my parents before I got saved. Now, you're talking about Bill Sturm here. That's found in verse number 30. And yet, I got converted. Now, what changed is Paul was no longer a murderer. Paul was no longer unmerciful. Bill Sturm is no longer, he was less and less disobedient to his parents. He is getting more and more victory over a lustful heart and a hateful heart. All these things are fruit of conversion. And that is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Some of you were homosexuals, but now you're saved. You might be struggling with it, but God is helping you overcome it. But wait a minute. There's homosexuals maybe listening to this recording. You're like, wait a minute. Don't make my sin something that's just obviously horrible. And yet people can be hateful and angry and disobedient and dishonorable and angry all the time. And somehow their sin is okay. You're exactly right. Some of us who have never been homosexuals were idolaters. We were adulterers. We were thieves. We were covetous. We were drunks. We were revilers. We were extortioners. But when we got born again, when we were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6:11, that became something we were. So rest assured, good friend, Scripture teaches homosexuals can be born again and changed by the grace of God. Christ died for the sin of pride. Christ died for the sin of disobedience to parents. Christ died for the sin of homosexuality. Christ died for the sin of heterosexual fornication. They are all sins for whom Christ died. Hallelujah! You can be born again by putting faith in the finished work of what Jesus did on the cross. You can have forgiveness of your sins. The wrath of God will be removed from you. That wrath we read in Romans 1:18 will be removed from you if you will believe on the name of Jesus Christ in John 3:36. If you put your faith in what he did for you on the cross, you can be born again, and God will change your heart just like he's changing my heart, taking pride out of my heart, taking disobedience out of my heart, rebellion out of my heart, lust out of my heart. He will take that lust, that subtopic of fornication and a homosexual lifestyle, he will pull that out of your heart little by little, changing you glory to glory if you will surrender that to him and put your faith in Jesus Christ. There is hope, saved person. That person can be born again. Keep preaching the gospel. Yes, everyone. Everyone is a candidate. No one belongs behind an electrified fence. Everyone can be born again. And we hope that God will use Berean Baptist Church and the preaching of his infallible word to bring many sons to glory out of every community of sin, to include the proud, the disobedient to parents, the haters, and the homosexual. Respond to Pastor Bill Sturm, BSTURM.BBC@gmail.com.